Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 2, which says, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." And so we've been looking at this issue of these commandments that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to here, and how he is speaking about the things related to it coming from the Lord Jesus, and how, as we've been looking at things in this, we've seen how everything in this dispensation centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why everything centers around the Lord Jesus Christ is because he accomplished everything for us, taking care of that issue of sin, giving us the ability to have a relationship with God. That's why you see how the gospel message for today, when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians and says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And we see how, as Paul says this and talks about the gospel message that is for today, how that gospel revolves around everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did, and how the only thing that we can do is to put our trust in this, to believe what he did. And if we do that, we have salvation, but it comes from what he accomplished. That's why you see how Paul, if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, that he's going to speak about things of what it is that the cross did, and how mankind really tries to reject what was accomplished at the cross. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we're going to start here at verse number 18, and we're going to read down through verse number 24. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God." Now, as Paul's describing this here, you see how he centers everything again right on what the cross accomplished, and takes it back to the issue of, you know, that we preach Christ crucified. You know, he looking at the issue of that it's the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the power of God. To this world, it seems to be foolish to say that what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross completely took care of the issue of sin. Because when you think about what most of Christianity says today, that Christianity talks about how sin is still an issue and how a person needs to quote-unquote deal with that sin, how they need to look at their performance, make sure they're not doing certain things, that if they do, then they need to confess or do things to pay for those sins. All of this taking away from what the cross actually accomplished. And it's foolishness in the eyes of God. That's why you see how Paul describes it. You're talking about, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. The cross was a stumbling block to the nation of Israel because they rejected who he was. They rejected his messiahship, rejected him in that offer of the kingdom, and this is where they stumbled in their history. The Greeks, the Gentiles who just seek after wisdom, that the things of the cross appear to be foolishness. That's why you see how Paul says about, you know, the Jews is a stumbling block, the Greeks is foolishness, and he's saying about that, we preach Christ. You know, we're not focused on signs, we're not focused on man's wisdom. We are to be focused on the cross and understanding that it's Christ living in us and through us. And that's why the focus always goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see how, as long as we're here in 1 Corinthians, let's go over to chapter number 2, because we see how Satan looks at what happened on the cross. We'll read verses 6 through 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul's saying that if Satan and the fallen angelic realm really knew what the cross was going to accomplish, that instead of encouraging the nation of Israel to reject the Messiah and put him to death, that what they would have been doing is encouraging a rejection, but would have been fighting for the fact of that we can't put him to death. We can't do these things because there was a lack of understanding of what was going to happen because the information had not been revealed. And if they had known it, they would have done everything to have prevented that from happening. But again, seeing how there's that focus on what it is that, you know, God had laid out, focus on what Christ was going to accomplish, and the prophetic scriptures had laid out this is what it was going to accomplish for the nation of Israel. Paul lays out for us what this is going to accomplish for everyone during this dispensation today. You know, and we know and understand that there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile today. We see how Paul, let's go over to Philippians chapter number 3. He's going to make a statement here in Philippians chapter 3 about how the things of Christ compare to everything about who he is. And we just pick up here in Philippians 3 at verse number 4. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. As Paul's describing all of those things about who he is and everything that he's listing out in verses 5 and 6 are all about who Paul is in the flesh. Nothing of who he is in Christ. And that's why he says that, you know, he counted those things for as loss in order for him to have Christ. He counts them as dung that I may win Christ. All of those things about who Paul is, none of that compares to who we are in Christ and what it is that we have gained by having this identity once we've put our trust in the gospel message for today. Now let's turn back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to read verse number 3. We're going to start looking at what it is that Paul is saying here. Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. So, as Paul's going to be building on these things, talking about the practical things, and that's why he's talking about your sanctification in here, we see how Paul says that this is the will of God. Now, that phrase, the will of God, is something that has caused a lot of struggles for individuals. It has caused controversy in the body of Christ today because individuals struggle with, you know, the fact that they want to identify exactly what the will of God is. And from man's perspective, they've turned that idea into a thing of where not only do I have to be in the will of God, but I have to be, you know, right in the very middle of the will of God. Because if I'm not in the middle of the will of God, then I'm not doing good enough. Now, no matter where it is that a person is in the will of God, the reality is they're in the will of God. You know, we don't have to try to get into the exact quote unquote center of that will because all of it would be that will. Now, Paul gives us the information so that way we can know exactly what the will of God actually is. And let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And we see how as Paul is writing to Timothy, he lays out exactly what this will is. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 3 through 5, but we're going to be primarily focusing on verse number 4. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we see Paul laying out the exact thing of what this will of God actually is. And laying it out that there's two parts to this will. You know, God will have all men to be saved. You know, so that's the first part of what God wants. And the second part of God, what God wants is he wants all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So there is no confusion over what the will of God is. We have it laid out exactly what it is that God wants. And the idea of that, it starts with all men to be saved. God wants all of mankind to accept the salvation that is being offered during this dispensation. And we know that, we actually started out the broadcast today with that gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Now, when we compare that issue of all men, that's a different statement than what we see if you go back into the book of John, where the Lord Jesus Christ says salvation is of the Jews, and how during time past an individual had to be part of Israel's program in order to be saved. And that's the only way that someone could have that salvation. And it clearly could be said that salvation is of the Jews. Today, during this dispensation, we see how it's a thing of that it's being offered not to just the Jews. It's not being offered just to the Gentiles. Salvation is being offered to all of mankind. That's why we see how Paul said, if we go over to the book of Titus and go to Titus chapter number 2, we see that Paul makes a similar statement about the issue of salvation coming to all of mankind. And here in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, we see how this passage starts with the issue of, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That word hath means that it's already happened. So the grace of God that would bring salvation, all of mankind has access to this grace of God. So everybody has an opportunity to be able to be saved. Again, something that could not be said back in the gospel accounts. When the Lord Jesus Christ sent the apostles out, he tells them to, after he tells them all the places to not go, he makes it clear of where they're supposed to go when he tells them to go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that they're to be focusing their message specifically on the nation of Israel, giving them that hope that they had. When we look at what's being said related to the Apostle Paul, we see how he has a hope that's being extended to all of mankind. And we can see how, as Paul is going out and ministering, you see how he is speaking to you know, all of mankind. You go into the book of Acts and you see how, you know, he starts in the synagogues, and then after the synagogues reject what he is saying, then you start seeing how the Gentiles are accepting what's going on. And we can see, let's look at an example. This is going to be one of those examples of where, instead of being in the synagogues, we're going to actually have Paul on Mars Hill. Let's go over to Acts chapter number 17. Here we're going to see how he's preaching unto these individuals here. And this is after he's, you know, in Acts 17, he's disputed in the synagogue with the Jews in verse 17. Then you see that, you know, verse 18 talk about there's certain philosophers that come. He's speaking with them. And now we're going to pick up in verse 22. It says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations and men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. So we see how, as Paul is speaking of this, teaching them, we see how there is this issue of him, you know, he points out what was going on related to, you know, Israel a little bit, and then he's saying, well, this is what's going on now. This focus of he made of one blood all nations of men, he's making it very clear that there is something different going on, that all individuals are able to have an access unto God. And that's what this whole issue of that, with God wanting all of mankind to be saved, is that it's an issue of the access that we have to God. You know, something that, you know, in time past, not everybody had access to God. And today, everyone has access unto God. That's what the whole issue of what Paul gets into. And we're very quickly, Ephesians chapter number 2 here. And we're going to read starting at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, he who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained ordinances, for the making himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And that issue of when Paul's talking about that we've been made nigh, is that the Gentiles have been brought into a position of where they have the ability to have the access and a relationship with God, which is something that in time past was not there. Now, next time, we're going to talk a little bit about an issue related to the will of God, and we're going to look at how individuals have twisted around some of the things of what this passage has said, because there are individuals who talk about how when it's the will of God that all men would be saved, that they say that all of mankind will actually be saved in the end. And we're going to deal with that issue, like I said, in our next broadcast. So as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our past Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through our conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.